WNCW, music there from Bill Evans, and how appropriate. And we had music before that from Alan Mundy. How appropriate, because these gentlemen are sitting with me here in Studio A at the Megaplex here on the campus of Isothermal. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, how are you?
Hello there, Joe. Looking good.
We're going to have to get y'all closer to that microphone a little bit there. Yeah, sit in a little close when you talk. Now, that microphone is a banjo microphone. It won't have any trouble picking up your banjos. And ladies and gentlemen, they have their banjos here on them. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
The two banjos are here, yes.
The two banjos are here. Thank you, Bill and Alan, for joining us here today. Or me, anyway. I won't say us. A pleasure to have you. You guys have played a year or two, so folks are going to know your names out there, I think.
Well, I hope.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking earlier. I played here many, many times at the old Green Acres Music Hall.
You know, and you brought up Steve Metcalf's name, and you know when that name comes up, they're going to, you know, you're going to talk about Green Acres. If you know the Little King, you probably know him from Green Acres. Am I right?
Right, right. He was a great guy. Or still
he
is.
He still
I'm
is.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, how many times did Country Gazette play Green Acres?
I bet at least 5 or 6 times.
Yeah. And for years, I was in a group based out of Charlottesville called Cloud Valley. And that band included Missy Raines, who most bluegrass fans know about, and a mandolin player who's now in New Mexico named Steve Smith. And he tours with a group called the Hard Road Trio. And I played Green Acres several times as well.
Well, you know what? I've been thinking. I do the Merle Fest Radio Hour. Maybe we ought to cook up a Green Acres Radio Hour, you know, because that would be a lot of, you know, classic music. It would be sort of a retro show because, you know, Green Acres has been gone from us for a number of years now.
You know, and in reality, there are not that many venues like that, if any. Well, of course, there's none quite like it ever. But in terms of, you know, just how the bands these days make a living and tour around, you know, boy, if we had, you know, 50 of those or 60 all around the country. And, it really comes down to volunteers wanting to put the work in. And, of course, we have that still all around the country. But, boy, that was a unique place.
Yeah.
Some great music came through there.
Certainly was. And a beautiful part of the country up there, Bostick, in that area, Washburn Store up there, you know. And I get sad. I go visit a buddy of mine. I won't say who he is because everybody don't need to know where he lives, I don't guess. But he's a picker, too. But he lives right up there next to where, and the Green Acres Park is still there. It just doesn't look a lot the same as it did back in the day. It's been closed up and that all. That makes you sad.
Yeah.
You know, like when I tell him, when I come to visit you, I just don't want to look over there because we all miss it. I think everybody misses it still to this day.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you guys made time to come visit with me today, and one of the reasons is you were on your way to Asheville this evening. Tell us about this show.
We are. Well, Alan and I are both here in town for the next week to teach at the Swannanoa Gathering, which is a tremendous event. It's a local treasure, one of my favorite, if not my favorite, music camp in the whole country. And Tony Trischka is joining us there. We're the banjo faculty, and the notion got into our mind to come in a day earlier and play at the Isis Music Hall in their upstairs room, and that's what we're doing for a 9 o'clock show tonight. As I understand it, Tom Paxton, the great folk singer, is also there in the big room at 7. Mm-hmm. We are there at 9. And there are reservations apparently with tables if you want to eat dinner. And I've never been there before, but Alan tells me it's good. And I'm about to find out.
Oh, okay.
Tonight.
Yeah, Isis Music Hall, like we were talking about off the air. I told you that West Asheville is really a destination now. And the Isis Music Hall, one of the leading places for great live music. So I'm not surprised that they have you guys in there tonight, and you're in the upstairs lounge, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
The lounge.
Yeah.
That's special.
This is part of our Seeing is Believing tour, which consists of this one show. and you know, if you're wondering, you know, you can imagine what two banjos might sound like without any other instruments. But seeing really is believing, and so you have to actually, you know, see what it is that we're doing.
Well, you talking about mandolin and banjo week at Warren Wilson, but both of you guys have been teachers for a long time, haven't you? You've taught, especially you, Alan, you taught him, didn't you?
Yeah, sure.
Well, we're going to say that? I don't
sure.
know.
Sure, I'll take that.
Bill learned from Alan, and
definitely.
A bunch of people, you pass it on, don't you?
Right, I do my best.
Well... Well, you guys, you know, you look like you're fairly close in age, but you know, we learn from everyone.
Well, you directed the Alan directed the program, the Bluegrass program, one of the first in the whole country at South Plains College, all the way in western North Carolina in a place called Levelland, Texas. And he did that for 20 years.
Yeah, it's far west.
It's pretty far.
North Carolina.
Farther than most North Carolinians might want to go.
Right. So, yeah, I taught there for 20 years and love teaching and love the camps. The Swannanoa Gathering, as Bill was saying, is one of the best. And enjoy being there and looking forward to the big show tonight.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there. And let me remind you folks, like he just said, they're at the Isis Music Hall Upstairs Lounge this evening, 9 o'clock there in West, trendy West Asheville. Well, you guys want to pick a little?
I think so. You want to tell them, this is one of your big banjo hits, Alan. I would really, this qualifies as a big one.
Back in, I guess, 72 or 73, Byron Burline and I played in a group called Country Gazette, and we wrote this tune for a Mazda commercial and later recorded it, and we called it Deputy Dalton is the name of it. So,
you and Byron have been friends a really long time, haven't you?
Yeah, we went to actually, I met him when we were both in college at the University of Oklahoma. So
he's a pretty fine picker himself.
Oh, man. Yes, very much so.
All right, so this is, tell us again the name of this one.
Deputy Dalton.
I think you folks will probably remember this. Check it out.
You kick it off or yeah. Count it off?
One, two, one.
Sir, the crowd. You know what? I have the urge to buy a Mazda now. It works.
It works. After all these years, too.
Sure, yeah. And Deputy Dalton, right?
Clarence White played on that original track, right?
No, Byron played guitar. Actually.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
And who played mandolin? Did Byron play mandolin too?
Yes, yes. Right.
No fiddle on that track.
No fiddle.
I got it. Okay.
If you're just tuning in, Bill Evans and Alan Mundy are in the studio with me here on Going Across the Mountain, and those were indeed live banjos you just heard right here, as if you couldn't tell. And the guys are live in here with me as well, and that's a great thing. And again, they have a show tonight in West Asheville at the Isis Music Hall, upstairs lounge, 9 o'clock. Correct, Bill?
Yeah, not the 7 o'clock show.
Well, come early and stay for the banjos.
The 7 o'clock, that's right. The 7 o'clock show is folk music. The 9 o'clock show is banjos. And, you know, the difference between folk music and banjo music is people like folk music. but yeah, do come to 7, hang around for the banjos at 9.
Has anybody written a book on all the banjo jokes? Because I've heard a ton of them over the years. I mean, Alan, have you worked on one?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, I am the author of...
I was going to bring that up.
Of Banjo for Dummies.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know whether this is the appropriate promotional context to mention this in, Joe, but you know, you're going there, so we might as well just go for it.
Well, let's see. My notes here, 2016 Bluegrass Banjo for Dummies. Is that the one you're referring to?
Well,
or
there's two.
Yeah.
There's two. You know, if you peruse the Dummies catalog, you'll find that there's only one isothermal science for dummies, only one of those, but there's two banjo books for dummies, which indicates that maybe the first one wasn't dummy enough, and so we had to make it a little more dummier.
Well, I think I'm going to wait for volume three. Absolutely no aptitude, and I'm going to tell you, the man who gave me the nickname Governor, Dean Jinks, banjo player, lives over there in Shelby, North Carolina. He offered once to teach me to play the banjo, and we figured out I have no aptitude. So he said, I don't think the dummy book would even work for you, literally. So anyway, you do some other writing too, do you not? Do you? You did.
Well, Alan and I both have had careers in and out of academia. I taught at Duke University one year a long time ago during the winter semester, and I'm from Virginia. I spent a lot of time up at UVA.
I read that. That's what's wrong with you and me.
Yeah. Well, and it was interesting to be in Raleigh-Durham during basketball season. That's all I have to say.
Interesting.
For that one semester. Quite something. I'm helping Sonny Osborne with his memoirs. So Sonny Osborne is the banjo playing side of the Osborne brothers.
Of course.
He just played a Bobby Osborne track. And we're working on his memoir right now. So that's my current writing project, and I contribute a lot to Banjo Newsletter magazine, the New York Times of the banjo, as does Alan. And Alan has written, you've written probably a dozen books on various banjo topics, and you have a new one coming out right now. It's out.
Yeah, I have a new book along with a co-author, Beth Mead, and it's called The Great American Banjo Songbook, and it's songs of the early part of the last century. By since we're in bluegrass, it'd be the Gershwin brothers.
Yeah,
you know,
Ralph and Carter Gershwin.
And I always like to say the Carmichael brothers, Hoagie and Stokely.
Golly!
But anyway, you know, like what are they?
All of you.
All of me.
Oh yeah,
it's all of me, and all the things you are, and.
All the things I am.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
But it's, and the Embraceable You and Stardust and just.
Banjo classics.
Pop songs from that era, but arranged for the five-string banjo. Some of them in a picking style, some of them in a chord melody style. But it's just out here recently, published by Hal Leonard. Mm-hmm. It's called The Great American Banjo Songbook.
All right.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I would like to get a hold of that. Now, I wanted to go back to your teaching because I noticed in my notes here you taught ethnomusicology. I'd like you to define that for us.
That's a synonym for unemployed.
Really?
Yeah, basically. No, I You know, I played in the band Cloud Valley. We did make it down here. We played the Leaf Festival.
Yeah.
I'm going back like 35 years, guys.
Leaf's been going for a while.
Yeah, okay. And then I decided to go to graduate school in music, and so we loaded up the truck and we moved to Berkeley. And I have been in California off and on most of the time ever since. But that's what brought me to Duke and University of Virginia. And ethnomusicology is the study of music from around the world and its relationship to its cultural context. Very broad topic, and a lot of my training ended up being American music history. And all of that knowledge creeps in various ways in the various endeavors that I do, and felt fortunate to, you know, to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't consider myself an academic anymore, really, frankly. I just try to be a picker.
You just enjoy
a writer.
Picking the banjo. And
yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
All right, we're talking to Bill Evans and Alan Mundy, and they are playing tonight at the Isis Music Hall, Upstairs Lounge, West Asheville. You never know when people are going to drop in. We got to make sure they know.
Well, and I'm going to brag on Alan a little bit.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you're a younger picker, you know, you might not be aware of Alan, because Alan hasn't been touring in a hot band or anything, although he played with Jimmy Martin. He played with the Flying Burrito Brothers.
I was going to get to that.
Yeah, and I don't mean to steal any of your thunder.
Boy, that's okay.
But you know, if you're a young bluegrass picker and you want to hear just really one of the most important banjo players in the history of three-finger style, you should come down to Isis tonight. And it's a rare opportunity to hear Alan, and he's going to play with his middle, index, and thumb of the right hand, like so many others. But he's a beautiful player who has been, you know, there would not have been, at least in the same way, there would not be Noam Pikelny and Bela Fleck and all of the younger generation of people if it wasn't for folks like Alan and folks like Tony Trischka as well, who's coming to teach a Swannanoa gathering. And so this is a rare opportunity, and we'd love to have all you pickers come down.
And you know, it's funny, every time I talk to one of these younger pickers, and there's a flock of them out there that are making records, Garrett Newton and Rob Benzing and James McDowell, Carolina Blue, great picker. But it's amazing to me when you ask them who their idols, if you will, for lack of a better term, their influences in playing the banjo. Your name comes up, your name comes up, and you know, you expect everybody's just going to say Earl, or everybody's just going to say J.D. Crow, or you know, something like that. It's amazing to me how they're very young, but they reach back into the music for guys who've been doing it a year or two and really emulate what you guys have done and your contributions to the banjo. So it has to feel kind of humbling, but you know, it's also great to hear these young guys really pick, right? I mean,
oh yeah,
of course.
So tell me, I wanted to get back to the Jimmy Martin thing. You played with Jimmy Martin a little while. And like we said off the air, everyone that's come in here has a Jimmy Martin story, so I'm bound to ask you if you have one.
Well, you know, and I'm sure a lot of them have stories that would be inappropriate for, you know...
For air.
For on the air. But I'm going to just tell one that's kind of interesting to me as a banjo player. But the very first show I played with him, we did a slow song, and we're playing along, you know, and I... You know, like just doing a slow song, and then I did this. You know, it's a really typical Earl Scruggs sort of backup for a slow song. And I got about that far. And even while he's still singing, he turns around to me and says, "Don't do that." And turns back around and goes back to singing. But after the show, I mean, it all worked out well. After the show, he said, "You know, I'm not angry or anything." He says, "But that right there is Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs' music. It's not mine, and it's not my timing. And so I like it, Lester Flatt. He loved Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs, but that was their music, and he wanted it to be Jimmy Martin music.
Right.
And he had a really specific way of doing things, and he wanted it that way. So, and I didn't have any problem at all not doing that ever again."
Yeah,
with him. So,
well, at least he didn't whack you over the head or fire you or anything.
No. That came later.
Well, I figured you would have some experience to relate from working with Jimmy Martin.
It was a good, you know, what it was is it showed you how focused those earlier generations were on doing what they did and having their own sound. And, you know, you listen to those early generations, the Stanley Brothers, Bill Monroe, Jim and Jesse, the Osborne Brothers, Jimmy Martin, Reno and Smiley, and on and on. And they all had their distinct, different sound. And they were aware of how they got it. And that's, they continued doing it because they had sort of an economic interest in promoting that.
Right. Yeah. The signature sound. Do you guys want to do us another song?
Yeah. How about if we do this Whiskey and Angeline,
okay.
Just those two?
All right.
I'm going to brag on Alan one more time. I'm just thinking of all
you guys can
things.
Brag on each other all you want. I'm enjoying it.
Is that Alan, along with Tony Trischka, too, about the same time, we're talking about the 70s, 74, 75, 76. You know, these guys started releasing banjo albums with songs that they had composed themselves, you know. And this really pushed the envelope forward. These are all in the days that I call PB, pre-Bela. And before Bela was on the scene. And Alan, you know, you younger pickers should definitely explore Banjo Sandwich, a classic record, the Banjo Pig Kicks Again. I mean, the Banjo Kid Picks Again, and Festival Favorites, you know. Just as, and Alan's latest record actually is just a duet record. I mean, not just, it's a duet record with a wonderful mandolin player named Billy Bright, and it's got some really great.
Thank you for bringing me a copy of it, by the way.
Yeah. Well, we'll play this and maybe hit the road and.
Well, we want you to be on time for your thing at the ISIS. So
one of the things that Alan really, you know, broke the atom and started with Bill Keith was playing in what we call melodic style. That's where the banjo plays a melody, and it does it in a real convoluted way, and so it was just ideal for fiddle tunes. So we'll play a medley of Whiskey Before Breakfast and Angeline the Baker, all right?
All right, folks, Bill Evans and Alan Mundy right here in the studio. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Bill Evans and Alan Mundy here live in the studio on Going Across the Mountain. Guys, I know you have to go pretty soon. Again, they're playing tonight at the Isis Music Hall in West Asheville. 9 o'clock show in the upstairs lounge. And then they're going to be at Warren Wilson College starting on Sunday for the Swannanoa Gathering.
And, you know, there are concerts every night at the Gathering, and they're open to the public. I believe there's an admission charge. They're mind-blowing every night, except for the banjo night on Thursday is not that mind-blowing. But the rest of the nights, I mean, there is an incredible – it is like the biggest group of incredible mandolin pickers and fiddlers. Michael Doucet is going to be there, incredible guitar players. The bass player who works in the music department at Warren Wilson is unbelievable. It's just world-class concerts every night at 7:30, beginning Monday night, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, I know there's a lot of fellow pickers out there and maybe folks who are just pickers, shade tree pickers, as we call it, as, you know, in the mechanic term. But anyway, I'm sure they would love to know what each of you is playing in here today. They, you know, some folks are, I love to know which banjo the guy's playing if I can't see him.
I'm playing a Huber Vintage, and this dates from about 12 years ago. It's got a radius fingerboard. It's mahogany banjo, and I like it a lot.
All right.
I have a Stelling Crusader that I've had for about 12 years or so, also 12 to 15 years, and it's also mahogany, I think, so enjoy playing it a great deal.
I just noticed, you know, the two of them different banjos, but they blend really well together, and I'm sure you guys probably figured that out. I mean, you know, it's probably not by accident, right?
I have tried to copy every single thing that Alan Mundy ever recorded for the last 40 years. And so it's not all that – well, it is really difficult, but it's a joy playing with him, and I appreciate you saying that.
Well, they do. They blend very well together. I mean, I listen to headphones at about 90 decibels, so I can hear everything. So, yeah, they sound terrific, guys.
Oh, thank you.
And once again, I really appreciate you coming in to be on the show today. I know it's sometimes hard when you have to hit sound check and you have a show to do and you do a bunch of driving and all that sort of thing. Real pleasure. Bill Evans and Alan Mundy.
Thank you, Joe.
Do you have to go or do you want to play one out? Or I mean, I'm leaving it to you. It's your time and you can know when you have to be at the Isis.
Well, let's play something we haven't done before.
All right.
How about something like a bluegrass thing? How about Fireball Mail?
All right.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you very much, Alan Mundy and
Scruggs.
Bill Evans. Yeah. All right. Hey, before you go, right quick, everybody's social media now. You guys have Facebook pages, I know, because I believe I tagged you in promoting this show today.
Right. I have, I think it's just Mundy Music.
Okay. And Bill Evans Banjo.
Bill Evans Banjo, also just Bill Evans.
Okay.
And you can follow me on that. And then BillEvansBanjo.com.
Okay. Websites
thanks,
as well. Thank you guys so much. Bill Evans, Alan Mundy, you are going across the mountain. And while I say goodbye to them, I'm going to play you some new Dale and Bradley on NCW.